A fun new introduction to our church, and thanks for being here. If you're online at Bush Lake or at West Tonka, may God's favor be on you this day, and may his goodness just overwhelm your soul. So good to be together. I want to start with just a thought here, because sometimes life is confusing, at least confusing in terms of knowing how to live life, to determine and discern what's priority or what's most important. I had lunch this week with a good friend who tends to be, or has a career where he's been quite successful in his architectural direction. He's an architect. And he told me a story when we were at lunch that when his son was in the university, the professor had asked if his son's dad would be willing to come and be a guest teacher in the classroom concerning the success that he's had in architecture. And my friend was honored to do that and was glad to do it. But this is what he told me. He said, this is how I opened up my lecture to the students. I opened up by saying to them, I am one of the most successful people you will ever meet in your life. I go, you opened up that way? You're full of yourself. What, you actually opened up that way? And he goes, yeah, but you have to understand, these are students. They're in the university. They're thinking about what success means, and they're wanting to know about what's priority in their life. So I opened up. I am one of the most successful people you will ever meet in your life. And then I defined success for them by saying success is about discovering who God created you to be and accepting it cheerfully. Wow, that's good. That is very good. And then I gave him grace and I said, okay, I'll still be your friend. It's all good. What a great insight that is. And the reality is we're entering into a new series which really speaks about how to live life. What's priority and what's important? We're calling it Practicing the Way because it's stepping into the spiritual disciplines, the practices, the ways that help us know how to live life well, to know what success is, what is priority and what is most important in our life and in our journey. And we do that in the context of community. We are so individually oriented. We make it about ourselves and what my life is going to be and the trajectory of my journey. But did you know that it gets shaped out of this thing that is called community? That community is the ecosystem of flourishing. It's where God brings clarity to whom he is and how he wants us to live our lives and how to live them well to the end that we would have clarity, that there would not be confusion in these foundational places. So really, this is a series about clarity in your lives and how to live well, how to prioritize and make important what is most important. So I've got two directions to the message today. The first one is just speaking a little bit about where we're going to go in the weeks ahead. And then secondly, I want to talk a little bit more about community. So you get two messages in one. We should be done about 2 o'clock. So hang in with me. And then we'll have lunch. It won't go quite that long. But I love this because we go all the way back 2,000 years ago and we find the very first Christians struggled. They had confusion about how to live their life. And Paul, the apostle, was observing this. They struggled discerning what's priority, what's most important. And so Paul just kind of lays it down. He's so amazing, brilliant thinker. God spoke to him in two sentences. He brings clarity to the confusion. You know the verses. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2, but let's revisit them. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters in community, in view of God's mercy, and let's just pause there. I urge you, powerful little Greek word here. I'm going to invite you to do something, he's saying. I urge you to do this, not casually, not passively, but earnestly, persistently, so that you know this is the priority of your life. I urge you. And we get that feeling of urgency right off the top in the context of community. In view of God's mercy, what is it that they're to do? Well, he has this little caveat. In view of God's mercy, what God has done for you, which will shape what you will do in your life and the clarity you're looking for. In view of God's mercy, the mercy of God, the compassion of God that met you right where you're at while you're sinners. That's the amazing thing about grace. We don't have to clean up first. He comes right where we are in this given place. And then he sees us and he knows our need. He meets that need. He is for us and not against us. And he sets us free from this and from that. And all of a sudden we start to get clarity of life. In view of God's compassionate mercy, do this. What? Well, this is what he says. offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. They understood what sacrifices were in that, the temple and the importance, but we're living sacrifices. Offer your bodies. You ever think about it this way, that your bodies truly matter? They matter. And we don't always think about it that way, because we think of salvation as being worked out through our souls for now and for eternity. But salvation is also being worked out through your physical bodies. You got to put that into some amazing context here, that God has no lips except your lips that are offered to him, that would sing him praise, that would encourage people in your life, in your journey. That God has no eyes except your eyes that are offered to him, that you might see the unlovely and the lonely in the world. That God has no ears except your ears that are offered to him, where you could listen to his whispers and hear the cries of the distressed in your own spheres of influence, but even around the world. And we pay attention to them. And God has no hands except for your hands that are offered to him for the bidding that he has to do what he wants you to do with them, to bring help and hope to those who are discouraged. And God has no feet except your feet that are offered to him to go where he wants you to go. And that's why he says later in Romans, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Our feet carry the very person of Jesus. Oh, your bodies truly do matter. So it's sensible, it's logical, it's appropriate in view of God's mercy that we would offer ourselves in fullness to God in the context of community to get clarity about how to live our lives, the priority and the important things that just, they're clear to us, and we step in that path. And he doesn't stop. He puts one more sentence to this. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So clear. No confusion. Don't listen to all the voices in the world. Wouldn't you agree? There are a lot of voices speaking to us and creating confusion in the world. Do you agree with that? Maybe an amen or something that says, yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks for being with me. There's so much confusion. You know what? When we're conformed to the pattern of the world, when we're listening to the voices of everyone, and there's differing voices all the time, expect confusion. Just expect it. But this is where he brings more clarity. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, you're not going to do that on your own. We just default to self and the other voices. No, he's come to us in view of his mercy. He's changing and transforming us. He renews our mind. He makes us think differently than otherwise we would think because of his presence. Who does that? Jesus does that through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He is forming us and transforming us. This series is about being formed and transformed in the way of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to go. You know what happens? Clarity comes in terms of how you live your life. Look how he ends here. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. I mean, I'm amazed by that. Just the promise of that. There's no confusion. You can know God's will for your life. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? Raise your hands boldly, because you are foolish if you do not. Because his will is good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. But we're confused about how to live our lives because we get caught up in our wills, not his will, but his is pleasing, good, and perfect, not yours. Align yourself with his heart is the call that he has for us in this journey, and good things will happen. So our goal in this series is to be in love like Jesus, to practice the way of life, his life, to be in love like Jesus. We're going to align our hearts with his hearts, and this series is about doing that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be meaningful. Oh, I pray it's going to be life transforming for you. The frame of reference is something that if you've been here, you already know. If you're newer to Westwood, I want to just put it up here as a perspective of who we are as a church, because you can populate this rhythm of life because it is a rhythm of life. There is a rhythm to life. There is a rhythm to life. When I think about people in our journeys, when you grow older and you're no longer part of the Westwood Community Church, that you would always remember, oh, there's a rhythm to life. Just a review of it, God gives. He is the first giver, that all we are and all that we have comes from him. We, with open hands, receive what he wants to give. Oh, he wants to give us so much. Oh, we gladly want to receive it. And with open hands, we give it away, believing it wasn't meant for us alone. There's clarity about that. We give it away. And then when we do, God receives glory, honor, and praise. And what I like to say about that is, when God receives glory and honor and praise, you just put a smile on the face of God today. And I go, I want to be one who puts a smile on the face of God today. Don't you? Yeah, we want to put a smile on the face of God. We don't think of God smiling. No, you got a smile because God got a smile. Put a smile on the face of God. That's the invitation that he gives to us. And then he gives all the more. That's the rhythm of life. So our practices are going to be populated in this rhythm of life where we'll take each of them. There's seven. There's more than seven, but we're going to only look at seven. It's a seven-week series. And this is what we're going to look at in terms of our practices. Starting with community today. In a moment, I'm going to just unpack that a little bit more. Then we're going to look at prayer and how that forms us and how meaningful it is and how we can step into it. And then into scripture and the word and the practice of opening it, Sabbath, the importance of living in that. That's something I'm very much committed to. It's one of the most life-giving things in my life. Can't wait for you to hear that message. And then service, as well as that opportunity to step into generosity. We've talked a lot about generosity, so I'm going to take a sublane of generosity and talk about simplicity on this day as a way and a practice that brings life to you in great ways. And then we're going to end with witness. It's going to be a good series. And just as a word of caution, there's always a danger for us when we step into something like this because we can make it legalistic. But if we make it legalistic, you have to do all these things this many times a day or whatever. You know what happens to your heart? You grow and cultivate a law-ish heart. And it's not fun being around law-ish people. Rather, we want to cultivate a lavish heart that gets cultivated by the presence of Jesus that is already in you, his lavish heart of love for you and for the world in which we live. That's the direction we're going to go. So shift gears with me. I want to talk about the first way, the first practice, which is community. And at the heart of community is this word belonging. What makes community so beautiful is the sense of belonging. And we have this longing inside of us that needs to be satisfied. It's a longing for belonging. And so my message is really quite simply, to belong to God is to belong to each other. To belong to God is to belong to each other. Can you see we move away from just the individual pursuit of these things? They find their life in the context of community. It's the umbrella for all of the practices to take root in our life and our journey. And so to belong to God is to belong to each other, which means I belong to God, God belongs to me, and I belong to you, and you belong to me in this beautiful thing called community. I belong to you. Isn't that cool? Just it's something that's just really life-giving. Say to your neighbor right now, I belong to you. Just not dysfunctionally, in a healthy kind of way. I belong to you. I want to elevate this belonging picture and just speak about belonging. Because, you know, quite honestly, I don't think people are looking for another event to attend. I'm not even thinking they're looking for another church to attend. I think we're looking for belonging. That's what we're needing. That's what satisfies something deeper in us. But a few things about belonging. I want to talk just a moment, just briefly about the desire, a misconception, and a risk. And the desire for belonging is really tethered. It's written in a beautiful Hebrew phrase. And the phrase is kehila kadosha. Say that with me. Kehila kadosha. This is beautiful, even sounding off of your lips, off of most of your lips. It's beautiful. It's sacred community is what it is. It's God's divine design for being together in community. And we were made for this sacred connectivity. Such an important expression of who we get to be in the Lord. That phrase, I first heard that phrase, that Hebrew phrase, not from the Hebrew scriptures, but from a book I read by Mitch Albom called Tuesdays with Maury. Anybody read that book? Yeah, good number of you have. And here's a young boy who's rabbi. Maury is now older and he's grown and he's writing books. And he's actually become a Christian during part of his adult journey. But he has this affection for his rabbi from his childhood, and he reconnects with him and learns that he's dying. And Tuesdays with Maury is spending a Tuesdays with Maury, his rabbi. And he garners these beautiful life lessons. At the top of the list for this rabbi, in terms of what has been most important, the priority in his life, kehila kadosha. He says, what I miss most as I've aged is the kehila kadosha, the sacred community that we were meant to be part of. It was meant to be part of from the time we were born until the time that we die. And we want to keep it alive and well. it's distinctive and needs to be delineated from the general word community that we have, which is simply to share with people something that we have in common. And so we have family in common, and that's something we share. It's community, it's blood, it's important. I had the privilege to go to a funeral this past week for a cousin who passed away. And so on Friday, I was down in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for this funeral. And I got to see cousins I haven't seen for a long time. It's family. We have blood in common. It's beautiful. My cousin who passed away was a Marine. And the Marine Corps was there with a 21-gun salute. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most moving experiences at a service that you can go to. And you realize, oh, there's a Marine family. They hold something in common as well. And then you have your neighborhoods that you live in. You have common things in common with your neighbors or your colleagues in your workplace. That's all part of the general communion and community. And then, might I add, cautiously, but then there's the Timberwolves. How many of you are just pumped up and excited for this day? Yeah, good. All right. For all of you, raise your hands and clapped. You know, we're part of a family. And the rest of you, I have no idea. But we're a family. It's what we share in common, a love for basketball. But you get the idea. I'm just saying, Kahila Kadosha is different. What we share in common is a person. His name is Jesus. And he binds us together in the most compelling, beautiful way. And so that's where that desire comes from. But there's a misconception about belonging. I just need to call it out because of our behavior today and our habits, because we mistake belonging for connectivity sometimes more than community, because we are now the most connected generation in all of history. But we are also the loneliest generation in all of history. That it is a feeder to the mental health crisis. We can say we're connected to more people than we've ever been connected to, but what does it mean? And research is showing that there's a direct correlation between this connectivity in social media and loneliness. I'm not going to do a message on loneliness. I have done that in the past, but it's real. It's just saying that sometimes we're more captivated and give more energy of taking a photo of a stranger, of somebody we've never met, and we take that in even more so than taking the time to have face-to-face conversations with people whom we know and love. And it's creating a gap of that, satisfying that longing for belonging. And God's calling us to enter into this Kahila Kadosha, this sacred community together. And yet there's a risk when we come into this sense of belonging, because it requires vulnerability and it requires accountability. And it's really hard to be vulnerable and it's really hard to be accountable. We don't want to be accountable to anybody. And that's why we pursue these things individually. But we were meant to be in community. It's a both and, personal enrichment and community enrichment, which means that it gets messy and there can be really deep hurt, but we're called to work it out. And when we work it out, there's breakthrough that happens. And we start to understand more of who Jesus is. And he forms us in the mindset of heaven on earth. And all of a sudden, we flourish in new ways. We get clarity about how to live our lives, what's priority, what's important. It comes through even working through the mess. So I'm not talking about a glorified word, Kahila Kadosha. Look at this beautiful community. Yes, it's beautiful, but it's messy as well. Let's just take in that dose and that reality, because otherwise we pull away. In fact, Brené Brown, the well-known author and sociologist, has spent more years studying the subject of belonging, I think, than any other researcher. And her TED Talks are still the most watched TED Talks that you can view today. And she has some powerful things about belonging. I wish I could speak more to them. But she says, belonging is not easy. It takes effort. Belonging is not the same as simply showing up or signing up. So we can show up here and still not be part of Kahila Kadosha. It doesn't mean we're belonging, we're showing up. And then she continues saying, belonging is the innate human need to be part of something larger than us. And this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in, seeking approval, which are not the same thing. Fitting in actually erodes true belonging. And she distinguishes belonging from fitting in with these words. I want to put them on the screen because I thought they were so insightful. If I get to be me, I belong. If I have to be like you, I fit in. That we can spend a lot of time trying to fit in and never satisfy that longing to belonging. If I get to be me, I belong. That is, if I get to go where I want to go and you want me, And you accept me for who I am? I will not. But if I have to be like you and fit in, and then fitting in is like going where I want to go, but whether I'm there or not doesn't matter to you. I could care less because I'm more interested in you being like me. You think about how that has divided so much of where we're at today. No, let me just remind you, we are the church of Jesus Christ. And we are called the body of Christ. And this body has one head, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it is filled with members. We're all members of that body. We're unique, we're different, but we belong together. So the body works the way God intends it to work. It's a beautiful thing that we get to celebrate our differences versus trying to conform each other to be just like each other. Because then if everybody's just a leg in the body, the hands don't work very well. We all have to fill the role that God has for us, and it's part of the sacredness of being in this journey. So what is the DNA of Kehila Kadosha, this community where belonging is satisfied in that context of community? I'm going to give you four expressions that have been with us actually for a long time. We had a retreat over 20 years ago, brought in a subject matter expert. We did it with our staff, and it was a working retreat to get a hold of this word community. What is the community we're seeking to create at Westwood? It needed a DNA. It needed more specific expression. So we have four expressions. We continue to use them today. So let me refresh or introduce them to you today. The first one is to know and to be known. That this was God's intent. There's no confusion. He intended us to know that he knows us and we know him, and that we can know each other and be known by others. That was part of his design. Look what the scripture reminds us of. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as I, as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, in view of God's mercy, he knows you. He knows the good and the ugly, and the good, the ugly, and the bad, right? The bad, the good, and the ugly, whatever that movie was. He knows all of that. While we are sinners, he comes and he lays down his life for us so that we could belong to him, that we could know who he is, because he knows us. He wants us to know him to the end then that we would understand what it means to know each other so that I know you and you know me and we understand we belong together in this thing called sacred community. And what a powerful thing it is for us to step into that place. When I'm not preaching on a Sunday, typically I'm at West Tonka, High West Tonka, or I'm at Bush Lake, High Bush Lake, or I'm here on Chan's campus. Last week I was visiting the children's areas because I was trying to get a pulse of what's happening down there, and I wanted to thank all the teachers and volunteers for doing what they do. And I had a great experience seeing all of it. But I said something to one of our staff leaders, and I hit a trigger. Have you ever been speaking with somebody and didn't realize you just hit a trigger, but it was very obvious? Oh, I just hit a trigger. Have you had that moment? I hit a trigger. I go, whoa, this is what I said. I'm looking at the adults that are working, the students that are working with our kids. They're doing just a great job. And thank you, all of you who serve in that capacity. But I said, what is the ratio of adult to children's right now and in our children's ministry? And immediately I hit a trigger. We're not into ratios. Okay, because ratios are about safety and compliance, which are required of us, but we meet those with ease. We're interested in going beyond ratios. We're looking for teachers and helpers who know the kids, who know their names, who know their souls, because they feel safe and they want to learn about Jesus and their lives are changed and transformed. I go, I needed to be put in my place. Plus, I want my grandkids and my children to go to kids ministry at Westwood. If that's the dream and vision, that's where we want to go. You know, I think that's what we have always been marked by. But can I give you a dose of reality? There's a COVID shift across the country. And it includes this reality that people want more flexibility in their schedules so they can have more weekends to do this or that, which I'm all over that. But it's impacted the volunteer consistency in our churches across the country, including Westwood. So we have people who are serving. We do meet the ratios. But we're trying to go above and beyond ratios so that kids are known, that the teachers and the helpers know the kids' names and know their souls, and we create this place. So I just want to put out here a vision. When we come to the fall, maybe I can put it this way. I'm done with COVID. Anybody else? Done with COVID. Okay.
But this is a bold invitation from your pastor saying, let's return to the strength of a children's ministry that goes above and beyond with kids who know that they are known, that they are loved in that journey, and we will have an impact for eternity on so many lives. So I've been prayer this week that God would raise up dozens and dozens of you at all of our sites, and that you would stop by a table that we have in the common and just say, I'd like to learn more. I'd like to sign up. It could be a short-term thing with VBS, but I really look into the fall and say, let the fall be different. COVID is behind us. Let's move to the future, which means could you adjust your calendars and be more consistent in volunteering for our kids? Our kids will appreciate it and their lives will be changed and transformed. That's enough. I could preach on that one. Could you tell I got a little hot on the collar on that one? So to belong means to know and be known, but that's not it. It also means to love and be loved. And we know that, that the greatest need of every little boy and girl and every grown man and woman is to be loved. It's your greatest need. Man, when you're loved, you feel it. You are so grateful for that gift. And we get this privilege to know that God loves us and we get to love him, which sets for us an example then to love each other and to know that we are loved. That's part of belonging. It happens in community. There's no confusion. Jesus brings the total clarity when asked, what is the most important thing in life? What is it that we need to do? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You see the rhythm of life that is in there. God gives us love. We receive it. We give it away and give it back to God. And he gives even more expression of that love. It's extraordinary, this love that he gives to us. And I thought, I'm going to invite a few people in our community. Since we're talking about community, put the legs to what it means versus me illustrating it. So I'm going to invite Liv Pentiato. Come on up. This is Liv, who is a graduating senior. Love you, Liv. Not only a graduating senior, she had prom last night. Now, I don't know what you did on your prom night, but I doubt you showed up at 7:30 in the morning for church. But she did, and she's been here all morning and serving so well. What are you doing after graduation?
I'm going to be attending business in High Point University,
okay.
North Carolina.
All right. Best wishes to you and that. How did you enter into the community called Westwood? Better still, how did you experience Kehila Kadosha, that sense of belonging here?
Yeah, so let's flash back to middle school. Seventh grade, homeschooled, socially anxious, really struggling with my friendships. And during this time, I just really could not find people that I felt comfortable around and that I felt safe around that were my own age. And my mom encouraged me, because I wasn't going to school, to come to Wednesday nights, which is something that we do here for middle school and high school students. And the first couple times I begged her not to go. I was like, please no, this is so scary. And soon enough, Wednesday nights became something that I didn't dread, but something I look forward to every week. And I think that was because of the leaders and students that knew my name, that cared enough to ask me questions about my life, and that really made me feel like I could belong and therefore become more like Jesus. And that has been just so sacred to me, is being able to be a part of this community that has really just felt like home. It's felt like a second family here, that I can just come back every Sunday and Wednesday and just know I have a place here.
Well, look how God has raised you up. She taught at our student ministry last Wednesday night. She's been gifted and she's made herself available to that end, which means you had to work through that sense of not belonging that you felt in middle school. And how did the love of Christ set you free to that end?
Yeah, so I gave my life to Christ eighth grade at a fall retreat that we did in middle school. And this was really because of the leaders I had around me that were showing me what it meant to live set apart from the world and to love others well, including me, and most of all, to love Jesus so well. I think one of the roadblocks in my way for so long was seeing Christians that said they love Jesus not get the love thing right to others. Oh. And it was something that just didn't sit right in my heart. And it was something that I didn't want to identify myself as a Christian if that's what it meant. And going into Westwood and seeing people be so loving and so accepting and just feel unconditional love by them, and then know the unconditional love of God, was something that I want to be a part of this.
Yeah, I got to pause for a moment, because she just used a phrase we use around here all of the time, without my prompting. If we could only get the love thing right, there's no end to what we could be or do for God's glory. We just don't always do it right. We don't. but you could see that it was happening and it's formed your faith. Now you're going to go off to the next chapter of your life. Mm-hmm. And how has it formed you? Because we're talking about formation, being transformed in the way of Christ. As you step out in this new adventure, how does it form your way of loving others?
So to take my faith to the next level, I think it's so important to serve and to lead. Once you feel confident enough in your faith, it's important to give it back to God because it puts a smile on his face, like you said earlier. And I've done this mostly through joining the apprentice program, through being a part of the Here Near Far ministry, and most of all student ministry. I've had the opportunity to be a small group leader to the same group of middle school girls for 3 years now, and being with them consistently, loving on them, answering their questions was such a full circle moment to me because I know how much leaders help me in my faith journey, that being that for them was so great. And I got to see them all dedicate their lives to Christ at summer camp this summer, and it was just so great to hear their testimonies, to pray with them, and see what God is going to do in their lives in, let's say, 4 years.
That is amazing. You are well spoken.
Thank you.
And on behalf of all of those graduating seniors, can we say thank you, Liv? And to all of you and your families, thank you so much. Appreciate it. So this community, this Kahila Kadosha, is to know and be known, to love and be loved. But there's a third expression, and that is to serve and be served. There's no confusion in the mind of Jesus. He's helping these first Christ followers and us understand there's clarity about your life, how to live your life, how to prioritize your life, what's most important in your life, and it is to serve. Look what he says. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, you know, stop looking for people just to serve your best interests, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There again, you have that in view of God's mercy. And to give his life as a ransom for many so that we would continue to do what Jesus would do, that we would be and love like him, that we'd enter into that serving. So I'd like to invite the Hardacre family. I'm going to get that right before the end of the day. Come on up. This is Jenny and Andrew, their daughter Greer and son Tate. Let me come over here so you can get more into the light. And so we've been having a serve weekend all weekend. Thank you to all of you who participated with our different partners. It's an amazing, amazing weekend. And they served on Friday night. I'll get to that in a moment. But I want to start with Jenny and how you entered into this community and what belonging came to mean for you.
We've been attending Westwood for over 12 years, and this community encourages and challenges us to live like Jesus and become like Jesus both in the building and outside in the world, and we appreciate that immensely. God created us for relationship, and community is relationship to us. That we know that anytime we do something God wants us to do, it goes well for us. We also know that communities are the places that we can belong and come alongside one another, and it requires that we're close and that we have intention. So it stretches us and involves sometimes being misunderstood, taking risks, being inconvenienced and uncomfortable, but it always leads to something bigger and better, and that is that we experience God's intent to be alone, not be alone, and to be made more like Christ. Yeah. And like we say here, we are always better together when we're in it together.
Yeah. Oh, she just said a phrase that we say all the time here. Did she? We're not better because we're together. We're better when we're in it together. And just to be in it with your family. I mean, just personally, even as a pastor of Westwood, your family has blessed me and my family richly. And we're really grateful for that belonging that you bring to everybody. And Andrew, when I think about what you guys got to do on Serve Weekend, they participated in, I think, one of the most compelling events. It's called the Capernaum Prom. And they, as a family, joined in to serve Friday night, a lot of teenage students. But what is the Capernaum Prom?
So Capernaum is actually a ministry of Young Life that serves teens and young adults with disabilities. Capernaum Prom was actually the idea that was hatched by Chris, the Bush Lake campus pastor, and the Young Life area director, to throw a prom for these kids. Every school in the state has a prom and a party, and they thought, so should these kids. So when the Serve Day email came out and we looked at all the different opportunities how to serve, We were drawn to Capernaum because we have some friends that have children with disabilities, and we just knew that there would be an infectious joy that evening. We as a family, and Jenny and I, have really tried to prioritize volunteering and serving. So for our kids, when they were young, they didn't have a choice. They just came with us to serve. As they got older, we were met with some resistance in terms of volunteering and serving. And yet God's going to meet them where they are.
Yeah.
And now as they're older, living independently or more independently, we want their faith to be their own. So now Jenny and I will choose to serve. We'll let them know what we're doing and hope that they'll also choose to attend. And Friday night, both Greer and Tate and also a friend of theirs chose to participate at the Capernaum prom.
Well, what was it like, Greer? I mean, the experience and the impact for you personally.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, obviously. I think a lot of time people are worried, oh, what do I look like? What are people saying about me? Yeah. But something that I noticed is just the genuine like happiness and confidence these kids had, and they weren't worried about what people were saying about them or what they were doing, but they were just so happy to be there and have people care about them and be seen, and it just really struck in me that God doesn't care about what we look like or the things that we wear, have, but he really looks at your heart, and that just really changed my perspective on things.
Are you glad you did it?
Yes.
That was the right answer. Okay, Tate.
One of the most impactful things for me was just seeing the excitement on these kids to just be surrounded by community. The instant they walked in the door, I mean, our whole family just saw like how quickly they smiled and hugged each other and just happy to be there. And I think because we're all part of community, sometimes we forget that God gave us community for a reason. He gave people around us to love and to love us. So moving forward, I will now like kind of see that and remember that I have a community that's surrounding me and just to love people to the best of my ability.
Did those students give you a sense of just greater freedom to be Tate?
Yep.
Did they? It's such a beautiful to see the photo and the freedom they have. Love it. Andrew, you get to have last word.
Yeah, I'll just say that I'm really struck Friday night and other times that we've served that these events don't happen without volunteers. And oftentimes we'll go and think, well, we're going to have an impact on others. And it comes full circle where we're the ones that are impacted. And so I would just encourage all of you and extend an invitation, unless it's a Game 7 night for the Timberwolves. On Friday night, we probably would have found ourselves sitting on the couch watching a basketball game or maybe a hockey game or a movie. And yet, Friday night was super fun. It was significant for our family. And I would just say yes when Joel makes that ask. So.
It's really good. I love that you've done this in family together. What an example it is. It inspires all of us. Could we say thank you? The Hardacre family, thank you. Love it. All right. We got a few more minutes, so there's a fourth expression, and that fourth expression is to celebrate and be celebrated. You know, this is a gift that sometimes we miss, that God celebrates you, and we get to celebrate God, and he's teaching us to celebrate each other, to be celebrated and celebrate others. And he's really clear about it. That story of the prodigal son, I can't unpack the whole thing, but you know the two sons, and one stays home, is responsible. The other takes the inheritance and goes and gambles it away on worthless things and then makes his way back home and doesn't believe that his father will want anything to do with him, but is hoping for a job. And the other son just feels like a little put off because he's been responsible. And listen to what the father says again. My son, the father said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And I just want to say this so that we understand our inclination is to think of God first as being angry and judgmental. Can you turn that upside down and see that he celebrates you? Because if you know that God is angry, if you have a parent or a friend who's angry and judgmental toward you, do you want to hang out with them? No, you avoid them as much as you can. We do the same with God. But if you know that you're celebrated, even though you're not perfect, that you're a work in progress, but you are loved and known and you're celebrated, what do? You come into the presence. You want to be there. God wants us to be in the presence of celebrating. So before we go, I just want to take a moment to celebrate one of our team members. I want to have Heather come on up. Heather Wilford, who has been our Here Near Far director recently, served in a number of roles. And I'm going to have her just speak from a staff perspective, her journey as well, because you have had quite a journey.
Yes.
You tell us a little bit about how you entered into the Westwood community.
Before we do that, I'm going to take like 30 seconds to celebrate something from yesterday.
What am I going to say? No?
Are you going to tell me no? Well, no, I already started it. Sorry.
Hey, Ian. I love it. Go.
Yesterday's first serve day, served with a group of people down in Shakopee at one of the trailer home communities that were there. Yeah. And we were cleaning up a park. And I want to celebrate a little guy named Logan. He's 7. And he was serving with his dad. And man, this little kid, he was like, this is amazing. I love serving. Where else are we serving today? I want to do all the projects. He was on fire. And I'm pulling weeds with him. And all of a sudden, he just stops. And he looks up at me and he says, I just love serving with this community. He used the word serving in community. I was like, oh, Logan, that is so good. You know, Pastor Joel's preaching on this tomorrow. I think you should get up and help him preach.
How old is he?
7.
Why not?
From the mouth of babes. Yes.
He got the message. That's beautiful. I mean, but I have this, you've heard me say this, that sometimes, always, Jesus comes to us through the poor and through children. He said, let the little children come to me because they teach us the way of God. So introduce me to Logan sometime. I'll look forward to that. Yeah. So how did you end up at Westwood in our own community?
Yeah. So we moved to the Chanhassen area from the east side of the Twin Cities in 2015. And we started just church shopping a little bit and came to Westwood one Sunday. Loved the teaching, loved the worship, and thought a lot about it. But we were coming from a church that was a lot smaller. It was about 75 people, and it was a very tight-knit community. So I remember telling my husband, okay, if we're going to go to Westwood, then I need to get involved. I did not want to be just an anonymous person coming in and out and leaving on a Sunday and not having community. And I do think that's a caution. Be careful what you say, because God heard me say I want to get involved, and now I'm standing here. But the first Sunday we came back and we signed up for a Let's Meet gathering, and I met then missions director Chaz Nichols. I looked at him and said, hey, I want to talk to you. I want to volunteer. I know you have a partnership with World Vision. Let me get plugged in. And it was through volunteering that I found community. I found people who I have been friends with for a very long time. I was able to be stretched and pushed through it. And it's what helped me get my job here.
Yeah. How did it form your faith?
Yeah. You know, I would say there's really two major takeaways in how community has really formed my faith through Westwood, for sure. It's just that this community has really stretched me outside of my comfort zone, whether it's serving in a new environment or going cross-culturally or stepping out to do what I'm doing right now and speak in front of people. If you had told me that 7 years ago, I would have said no way. But through community, I felt encouraged, and I felt the courage to do these things that God was calling me into. And then the other thing is just that I feel like community, without this community, I don't think I would have found the giftings that God put in me. It was community that called out in me that I have leadership gifts that I didn't know existed. I had communication skills that I didn't know existed. God put a voice in me that I didn't know existed. And without this community, it kind of chokes me up, but I would have not become who I am today without this community.
That's what God does in Kahila Kadosha. You joined us in 2017 on the team, part-time, became full-time. Eventually, Chaz would retire. You took his role. In 7 years, she just moved, and I go, one of the most extraordinarily beautiful hires that God has given us right from our own body of Christ. Who knows how God wants to use that to strengthen his mission and purpose through this body. It works with us being together in it. But now you're at an inflection point, because God is just moving her in these 7 years. This thing. Now a door of opportunity has opened for global impact in a unique way. Just briefly, what's before you?
It's bittersweet. I have a new opportunity to join the staff at World Vision. World Vision is the world's largest Christian nonprofit. They're bringing clean water, economic empowerment, discipleship, development, humanitarian aid. And so I have an opportunity to join their team. So I'll be exiting our Westwood staff in June. And working for World Vision starting then. And I'll get to bring leadership to a couple different areas, but one of them specifically that I'm just really passionate and excited about is something called Women for Women. And it's building community of women who are already connected with World Vision here in the U.S. that want to make significant impact in the lives of women in developing nations around the world. And so I will be able to help bring leadership to that, to help grow that area of ministry, and it'll be a national position, so I'll be connecting with women across the U.S. for the sake of women around the world.
Yeah, Heather, you are putting a smile on the face of God. God celebrates you because you're embracing the gifts that he gave. You've been available through all of this. He's opened a door for global impact. We can't do anything but celebrate the goodness of God revealed to you and all you've done here, your family. They're going to continue at Westwood, so you'll still see her. She may be teaching and other things with her spokesperson gifts and abilities. But in 7 years, you just go, wow, thank you, God. You have been anointed with beautiful gifts. Continue to serve well. And would you join me in celebrating Heather, her family? So well done. Thank you. We need to wrap up our time. You're ready to go have Kahila Kadosha lunch somewhere. And here I want to put up a QR code. I want to give you just a bold invitation. Be part of the journey. If you've been coming, it's great. But instead of just attending, become part of the Kahila Kadosha, the sacred community, where you can know and be known, where you can love and be loved, where you can serve and be served, where you can be celebrated and celebrate others as well. That QR code is available for you. If you would just like to learn more, the options are there. Go to our website. Either one, we're there. But thank you for being here. Be part of the community that God is at work in. It's fun. It has great joy in it. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for this beautiful gift of community, your church, Kahila Kadosha, the most significant sacred community we will ever be part of on the face of this earth is this gift. We get to be the church. So move us to a place of a mindset that might say, I have to go to church. I get to be the church. And may we do that with joy, roll up our sleeves and celebrate all that you've given us to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before you get up and go, could I just invite Gabby to come back up again? And I'm just so proud, her first time coming up. Could you just give it up for Gabby? She's got one word for you too. Love having you part of our team. Beautiful. Well done.